This is the Indo-Pacific Debrief by Atlas News. Hello, and welcome to the Indo-Pacific Debrief by Atlas News, where we take the region's top stories and analyze and review their broader context. Starting off, we'll delve into the recent development of the U.S. seeking expanded access to Japanese shipyards for repairs and maintenance of its naval vessels. This move comes amidst rising tensions with China in the Asia-Pacific region. Let's unpack the details. The U.S. currently utilizes Japanese shipyards for non-combatant vessels, but the proposed deal would grant access for full maintenance and overhauls, including combat ships stationed with the U.S. 7th Fleet. This would significantly improve operational efficiency. Previously, these ships would have had to travel back to the mainland U.S. for such services, taking them out of commission for longer periods and incurring higher costs. The strategic context behind this deal is crucial. The U.S. aims to bolster its military presence in the Pacific to counter China's growing and assertive military posture. The increased tensions are evident in China's territorial claims in the East China Sea, airspace incursions, and simulated attacks on Taiwan. This deal between the U.S. and Japan signifies a deeper security cooperation between the allies. Increased collaboration on repairs allows U.S. ships to stay operational for longer stretches in the contested waters. It's also anticipated that similar arrangements might become more prevalent amongst U.S. allies in the region to form a united front against China's actions. However, concerns exist. The potential job losses in U.S. shipyards due to this shift haven't been addressed yet. Additionally, the deal is likely to exacerbate tensions with China and North Korea. China might view this expanded U.S. naval presence near its claimed territories as a provocation. Overall, the U.S.-Japan repair deal reflects the evolving strategic landscape in the Asia-Pacific. It highlights the growing concerns about China's military activities and the efforts of the U.S. and its allies to maintain regional stability. We'll continue to monitor the situation and provide updates as this story unfolds. Now, let's shift focus to another significant development in Asia. India's recent test of the Agni 5 intercontinental ballistic missile, ICBM, equipped with a MIRV warhead. On March 11th, India's DRDO conducted this successful test, codenamed Mission Divyastra. While details about the exact range and flight time remain undisclosed, India did establish a large exclusion zone stretching over 2,200 miles into the Indian Ocean, hinting at the missile's long-range capabilities. The Agni 5 holds particular importance for India. It's their first domestically produced ICBM, signifying a significant leap in their missile technology development. Built upon the foundation of the Agni 3 IRBM, the Agni 5 boasts a three-stage solid-fueled engine, making it mobile and capable of carrying either conventional or nuclear warheads. Launched from a transporter launcher, this ICBM utilizes advanced guidance systems for precise targeting. Experts see this test from various angles. Primarily, it allows India to refine its ICBM technology and pave the way for future MIRV-equipped missiles. This capability puts India on par with major powers like China, the US, and Russia, who possess similar technology. Additionally, the Agni 5 strengthens India's deterrence against potential missile defense systems China might develop. Unsurprisingly, China has taken notice. Their deployment of a survey vessel near the test site during the launch window suggests close monitoring of India's missile advancements. This isn't the first time China has shown such interest. A similar incident occurred in November 2022 during a planned Indian missile test that was eventually called off. The Agni 5 test contributes to a complex geopolitical landscape in Asia. It highlights the ongoing arms race and the growing missile arsenals of both India and China. While the reasons behind these developments are multifaceted, it injects a sense of tension into the region. We'll continue to monitor the situation and provide updates on any further developments. Next, the fight over TikTok in the U.S. has entered a new chapter with the House passing the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary-Controlled Applications Act. This legislation aims to force ByteDance, the Chinese company that owns TikTok, to divest from the popular app within 165 days. Failure to do so would result in a ban from app stores and cloud services. However, the bill's journey to becoming law is far from certain. It now faces a complex web of challenges in the Senate, fueled by both domestic political considerations and foreign disinformation campaigns. U.S. lawmakers are concerned about the potential for the Chinese government to access user data through TikTok. This has led to national security anxieties, with the FBI and the Director of National Intelligence labeling the app a threat. TikTok, however, has launched a campaign portraying the bill as an attack on free speech and American creativity. They've sent notifications to users urging them to contact their representatives to oppose the legislation. China has also entered the fray with its own disinformation campaign. Their narrative focuses on portraying the U.S. as a bully, robbing a successful Chinese company. They claim the free speech arguments made by TikTok and highlight supposed double standards regarding U.S. social media companies leaving China. The Senate presents a significant hurdle for the bill. Senators face pressure from both sides of the issue. Young voters, a crucial demographic, heavily utilize TikTok, and lawmakers fear a backlash for supporting the bill. Additionally, First Amendment concerns have been raised by both Democratic and Republican senators. The equation is further complicated by the influence of powerful donors. Venture capitalist Keith Rabois has threatened to cut funding from Republican candidates who oppose the bill, while another major Republican donor, Jeff Yass, has come out against it. Yass's financial influence has reportedly been used to block similar bills in the past. The future of the TikTok bill in the Senate remains uncertain. Senators must weigh national security concerns against the potential for voter backlash and the influence of powerful donors. The outcome will likely depend on how effectively the U.S. can counter China's disinformation campaign and navigate the complex domestic political landscape. This situation offers a glimpse into the tactics used by China and companies connected to the CCP to influence U.S. policy. It also highlights the growing tension between the U.S. and China when it comes to technology and data security. Finally, the Kachin Independence Army, KIA, has launched a series of offensives against the Myanmar military junta, capturing at least 10 military camps. This escalation comes amid a wider conflict between the junta and various ethnic resistance groups in Myanmar. The KIA targeted multiple camps near Liza, including those previously responsible for civilian casualties. This strategic move aimed to neutralize the threat of artillery attacks on the KIA headquarters. Analysts believe the timing of the offensive is linked to ongoing clashes between the Arakan Army, AA, and the junta in western Myanmar. The KIA's attack likely intends to distract the junta and alleviate pressure on their allies, the AA. The KIA is the military wing of the Kachin Independence Organization, KIO, a group fighting for greater autonomy for the Kachin people. Formed in 1961, the KIA has around 20,000 fighters and is known for its well-trained soldiers and captured weaponry. The KIA opposes the Tatmadaw, the military junta that rules Myanmar. The Tatmadaw has roughly 150,000 active personnel, but faces desertions due to low morale and unpopularity with the civilian population. The junta also struggles to contain numerous resistance groups across the country. The KIA's offensive reflects the ongoing struggle for power in Myanmar. The junta is suffering losses on multiple fronts, with its forces stretched thin and facing desertions. Resistance groups like the KIA employ effective tactics and exploit the junta's weaknesses. The situation is further complicated by the junta's unpopularity, fueled by accusations of war crimes and a recent national conscription law. This law has sparked resentment and encouraged young people to flee the country. The recent KIA offensive highlights the complexities of the Myanmar conflict. The outcome remains uncertain, but the junta faces mounting pressure from multiple resistance groups and a growing civilian resistance movement. The international community has condemned the junta's actions, but its ability to influence the situation is limited. It remains to be seen if the junta can quell the rebellion or if Myanmar will descend further into civil war. The country's future hinges on the ability of the various parties to find a path towards peace and democratic governance. This has been the Indo-Pacific Debrief by Atlas News.